just when you thought there was no hope for baby boomers. It's the Rational Boomer Podcast. Logic. Common sense. Compassion. Yeah, who knew? Now, here's Mike.
We are back on the Rational Boomer Podcast. Hopefully your day is going well. It is Thursday and I got great news. After being away last week, Old Soul is back this week. Welcome back, Old Soul. You're a sight for sore eyes. And when you're 64, you get sore eyes a lot.
I get sore eyes too.
Yeah. You know, we talk about politics and stuff, but we also talk about the things that you do, the crazy shit you do. If you were my kid, I'd have to sit you down and go, what the fuck are you doing, old? Jesus. For those of you that don't know, Old Soul is quite an activist in many things, but she's also supportive of those women that need medical attention when it comes to abortion. There are women in states where it's not legal now, and they will come to her state, which is Nevada, and she will open her doors for these people and let them stay with her while they go through the process. That's what I mean, old. You're crazy. I don't know who would do that, but thank God, you know, we do have some people that have the compassion you do. But
Now we have Arizona too. So,
right, yeah, Arizona now too. Yeah, we should let's talk about that after. After we talk about your current predicament, we talked to you 2 weeks ago and you had this young woman come in, kind of a wild child of sorts.
Yeah.
and then when I came to you last week, I said, are you ready? And you said, yeah, shit's kind of happening. So we didn't do it last week. Maybe you can explain to us just so the people at home know exactly what's going on. Cause I think these stories are important to get people to understand it's not just a black and white issue, abortion or not abortion. Young women's lives, other people's lives are impacted dramatically. And I think it's important to hear the stories you tell. So remind us from the beginning and tell us where you're at now.
The wild child is still here.
Wow.
And she will be here until mid-May. Her mother ended up leaving. And there's a couple of reasons why she left. The primary reason is her husband is like a huge Trump supporter, but he's also a sovereign citizen. I don't know if you know what that is or not, but
I know it's not a thing. It's not real.
It's not, but they believe that it's real.
Wow.
And part of that, you have to contract with the states. Now, I've been talking to her about it and, you know, looking at some of his social media just so I can relate to what she's going through and talk to her. So anyway, you have to contract with the state for whatever reason. You have a right to travel, which means you don't have to have a driver's license, car insurance, whatever. And so he ended up getting him. And I guess his day pretty much consists of going to work and fighting his court cases because, you know, when you feel like you're not bound by laws, you're constantly getting arrested. And he ended up getting arrested. And so the mom was like, well, you know, we gotta have to leave like right now. And we went to sleep and we woke up to take them to the airport and she was gone. She just took off. She was like, I'm not going back home. Forget it.
The girl that was pregnant or is pregnant.
Took off. She was not going back home. Like, nope, I'm not doing it. These people are crazy. I'm not going to do it. So long story short, the mother ended up leaving. The daughter ended up staying. But she does have an auntie, a grandmother, and an uncle in Arizona. The auntie is in Glendale. The uncle is in, I want to say Phoenix, but I can't say for sure. But because she's like a trauma nurse, they have these crazy hours where they work for like a week straight with like 10 hours on. And then they have like 5 days off. I don't know, but it's a crazy schedule like that. She put in for time off so that she can be with her and help her get adjusted. But her time off doesn't come until May. So I'm like, she's here. She's doing her thing. She can stay. It's all good. So I have her doing her therapy. I told her since she's going to be here for a while, she has to give back. So I have her volunteering at the Boys and Girls Club, and the kids actually like her. Like, they really do like her. She's dyed her hair since she's been here. She thought that I would judge her, and I'm like, why would I judge you? So I pull out my daughter's photo album of all these crazy hairstyles that she went through when she was that age. It's like her hair book. And I was just showing her like, oh my God, look at my daughter's like hair journey, that she had these crazy stages that she went through. It's not what's on your head, it's what's in your head. So I'm not going to judge you for that. And she's where she's supposed to be. She's doing what she's supposed to do. She hasn't drank. She hasn't gotten high. She still like goes outside and smokes, but I don't think cigarettes is something that you can cut off like cold turkey. But she's said that she would work on that, and
Well,
I'm happy for my daughter, nieces, and nephews to help her with her homework, because this new man, I have never seen no stuff like that. But yeah,
wow. Well,
the wild child is here.
this is interesting. This young girl came to you. She's 17 years old. She came with her mom. But let's just look at where she's coming from. She's coming from a family, a father, particularly highly religious. Highly religious. I mean, crazy religious. And
Well, hold on. I found out that the mom is like overly religious, but the dad preaches religion. But from my understanding is he doesn't go to church. He just kind of like preaches it. But anyway, go ahead.
anyway, they're religious. They belong to a church. She is sexually abused by somebody at the church, correct? The guy isn't sent away, and they still force her to go to the church.
And she was okay, but then I guess the guy went and got whatever help he needed to get, and they brought him back to the
Right,
church.
right. And then you throw on top of it now that she has a father that believes he's a sovereign citizen, which isn't a real thing. I've watched court cases where people claim to be a sovereign citizen, and the judge just says, "Shut the fuck up. It's not a real thing. It's a joke." And they are insistent that they have special treatment because they're a sovereign system. I have a bank account with a country. Fuck you. Shut up. And then mom's obviously a little fucking nuts too, a little unhinged. So we wonder why a 17-year-old girl gets in trouble like this and behaves like this. Look where she's coming from. Fuck.
It's pretty tough circumstances. Part of the reason that I'm like exhausted right now is we actually drove to Arizona because she said something that it just hurt my heart so bad. She was just like, things are like so convenient because I have my groceries delivered once a week. And she's like, things are so like easier and more convenient in free states. And that's how she looks at it, as like free states and like non-free states. She was kind of freaking out a little bit about having to move to Arizona because of like new laws and stuff like that. And so we ended up, I was off yesterday, so we ended up driving there so we can like eat, hang out with her grandmother and her uncle. And I was able to get some insight on why her mother is the way she is. So I guess when they were younger, her and her sisters used to go to this like church camp, and something similar happened to them at the church camp. And so you would think that, why can't she relate to her own daughter? Because she should understand. But in my mind, her mother has some trauma that she just clearly doesn't want to deal with. She wants to ignore it. She wants to bury it in. But she has this child over here who's constantly bringing up that trauma that she doesn't want to deal with. And I think a part of her doesn't understand why she can't just like pray about it, shove it down, and move on when her daughter is not dealing with it the way she did. So I understand where she's coming from. Do I like her? No. Do I agree with her? No. But I understand why she is the way that she is. The dad, I don't know nothing about him. He, from his social media stuff, he just looks like he is like out there. But the grandmother actually used to live with them. But during COVID, the grandmother has like COPD, and they didn't believe in like mask mandates and stuff. And so the daughter and the son actually went and got the mother and moved her to Arizona with them to keep her safe during COVID when she has that, that disease that she's dealing with.
Now, when we talk about this young girl, her mom, even her father, they've got some questionable decision-making skills. And that's why they're in this trouble. Now, you, on the other hand, are an intelligent, articulate, compassionate woman trying to help everybody she can. But honestly, old soul, I'm starting to question your decision-making skills. Tell them why I'm questioning your decision-making skills.
Okay, so you, my TT, my mother, and even my brother, they were like, this girl is not going to want to go home. She's not going to want to go home. She's not. I wasn't listening to you guys like at all. And I was just like, whatever. And my daughter, she's like, I actually think she might like run. Everybody can see it but me. And yeah, she's like, nope, I'm not going to go. So not only were you right, they were right. And my daughter was right. And I'm just sitting here like,
Yeah, that's one of those things, but that's not the thing I'm thinking of. There's another decision you made.
To bring someone else in on top of that?
You brought someone else in on top of that. Old soul, what the fuck are you thinking?
Well, is some of these, because I had planned for them to leave. So we already had a plan for them to come here. She came here with her mother. Now, they were actually able to pay for their own airfare, their tickets, and all of that stuff. They just couldn't afford like a hotel stay. Right. But the reason that her situation couldn't be put off is because even though a DNC is like, you've already had a miscarriage, right? And so the DNC is just going in, cleaning everything and making sure you're good. But right. In some states, a DNC is considered an abortion. But when you miscarry, you have to have that DNC like as soon as possible in certain situations. Her situation, you have to have it. Like if you don't, you can get an infection, you can get septic, and then that could lead to infertility. And she absolutely was like traumatized even like thinking about that. So I was just like, all right, I got the wild child here. And she was like completely fine, like giving up her room and just crashing on the futon in the office while they were here. And so her and her mother, they came. She's doing what she needs to do. She really doesn't need to be like driven anywhere or anything because they get their own like Ubers. I'm like, hey, if you need help, like my family and I are here to take you. But she really needed it like right away. And I couldn't tell her no, but I couldn't send the wild child away either. So I was just like, we'll figure it out. And we figured it out.
So you have two girls that have problems that need help and you're there to help. You don't know either one of them before you met them this time. And one of the reasons you couldn't come on last week was because she ran away and you were worried and trying to do all these things. And over and above what you brought up, I brought up and your mom brought up, you're not their mom. Mom's got to take some responsibility. If they don't take responsibility, this is why you get these situations. Old soul, you got a lot of stuff going on in your life. You have a daughter. You got things to worry about. You don't have, I mean, it's one thing to be hospitable like you are and helpful like you are, but you don't have to take it all on your shoulders and be responsible. You're not responsible in this situation. You've already gone above and beyond.
I kind of felt like I had to, though. I mean, she's a kid. She's in Vegas.
I understand.
Am I going to just leave her in Vegas by herself? Of course not. I was kind of disappointed in the mother. Like, it's the decision. Oh, do I stay here and find my daughter or do I go back home because my husband did this thing? To me, it's not a choice. He made that decision. You need to stay and take care of your daughter. But apparently for her, it was a decision. Plus, we weren't really seeing eye to eye on anything anyway. So it's kind of easier to say, go, she's going to be fine. And, you know, that I gave, even though I don't like her mother, I gave my word from one mother to another that she will be fine. And I'm going to honor that. And she's not as bad as she was initially. She's been doing what she's supposed to. There is some speculation in the family. Like, is she trying to be like extra nice and perfect so that when it comes time for her to leave that she'll stay? I don't really see it like that. She's doing her therapy. She had fun visiting her grandmother and her uncle. So, and then she can see that Arizona is not the same as where she came from. That it is, I wouldn't say I separated from free states and non-free states, but it is more of an urban area than what she thought that it would be.
Right.
Well,
since we last talked, everything changed in Arizona now too. We have this ridiculous law that they enacted from 1864. This is obviously, I mean, you're just north of Arizona in Nevada, northwest of Arizona. This is going to create a bunch more business for you in bringing women in. What was your thought when you heard, I mean, it's one thing to ban abortion or make it 15 weeks or 6 weeks, but what they did was absolutely fucking batshit crazy.
Yeah, I don't think there's any limit to them achieving their agenda. Like there's no line that they won't cross. Because when you have to go back to 1864 to justify what you're doing in 2024, that's a problem. And I think I said it in the live chat too. In 1864, the age of consent for girls was 10 years old.
Jesus
So you
Christ.
Want to take us back to a time where that was legal. But then you turn around and you see in Tennessee them arguing first cousins should be allowed to get married. So you can see the mindset that they have to where they actually do want to drag us back to that time and place that we work so hard to come from, especially as women. It's so archaic. It's so disgusting.
You
wrap
know,
your mind around it, but.
The ironic thing about that, you go back to 1864, age of consent is 10 years old. And you know why it was 10 years old, and you know why that wasn't a big deal back then? Because women weren't regarded as even close to equal. They were little more than property. It was men who were in charge, men who mattered, and women were just to be, you know, used in any way, whether it be working or marriage or sex or whatever it is. That's how it was. And apparently the Republicans want to bring back those days when women don't count. They have no power. They have nothing. And you would think that women in this country would recognize that and go, holy fuck, that's a little scary.
We were property and incubators, pretty much. And children were just workhorses, you know, that it takes a lot of back-breaking work to run a farm and to do different things. And that's what women and children were designed for. And it was just kind of like this hierarchy. So when you take men right now who are just average, you know, they have this idea in their head of what it's like to be hierarchy, to be like ahead of everybody else, to look down on everybody else. And they actually idolize that. And that's what they're looking for. As far as the women go, I just think a lot of them, they just don't know their own history, what they went through in order to get where we are today. And I think they're overlooking that. I do think they're certain, like when you listen to people like Marjorie Taylor Greene and all these other women, these are women in positions of power. And common sense will tell you, if you take us back to 1864, you will not have that position of power. Like it's not even an option. So they are rooting against their own best interest. And I always think about people in red states when they vote for the people that they vote for, especially women, it's kind of like turkeys voting for Thanksgiving. You know,
Exactly.
you're voting for your own demise. Literally, that's what they're doing. But I have seen a shift, especially with, and I just, when we were in Arizona, we were actually learning that, about the ballot initiative. And what they're trying to do is like make another one simultaneously as that one to try to confuse the voters on what they are going to vote for. But it's like, it's crazy because they are already hip to it. So that's not going to work.
No, it never works. They try to do it. It may have worked at one point in history, but they always try to do that. But there's people that will explain it in the media and stuff. So that confusion, that doesn't work. It's a scam. But the thing that struck me about this thing in Arizona, as soon as it happened, there were a lot of course, Democrats, but there were a lot of Republicans that are going, whoa, you got to fucking back that off. Even Donald Trump said, you know, I want to give the decision to the states, but this is too far. Don't worry, they'll fix it up. And a lot of Republicans pushed back. Sean Hannity pushed back, not because they were for abortions, but because they realized how damaging it is to the upcoming election. So you would think once they realize, oh, we fucked up, they're going to back off of it. But then what does the legislature do? They tried to repeal it twice. They just did it again the other day, and they killed it both times. It's like they're asking. I mean, don't you think, this is going to sound weird, as much as this is a horrific thing, as much as it is a bad thing, there is a slight positive side to this. This puts Arizona in play to become a blue state. Donald Trump embraces Roe v. Wade. He says he did it himself. The people in Arizona know this. They don't like this draconian law that's out there. They're going to want to do anything to get rid of that fucking thing, and they're going to have to vote for somebody other than Donald Trump to do that. So we could be seeing Arizona go fully blue just because people are so afraid of this draconian shit. I mean, if it had been a little easier one, it might have been better for them. But it's like, you know, we're just going to cut your heads off, and then people have to decide, do I want my head cut off or do I want to live a normal life? It's not a hard decision as to who you're going to vote for. They did a lot of damage to the Republican Party, and that's going to put, like I say, Arizona in play for the Democrats.
Yeah, part of it is they lost the plot so long ago because you were supposed to put people in positions of power who talked a good game but didn't back it up. So you were supposed to put people in play, like people who Donald Trump started off as. He didn't care about abortion. He just said whatever needed to be said to get the votes.
Right.
And they were supposed to continue upon that path in all of these states. But what they did was they really did put true believers in these positions. So that way, when you try to show them like, hey, we're losing, this is not good for us, they don't care about that. They really do believe in their minds that this is what's best. This is not a personal belief. This is something that God said, and this is what they were put here to do, to force it on everybody else. Like, they really do believe that. So I think that was the mistake that they made with a lot of the MAGA nuts, is a lot of these people really do believe this nonsense. And so it's very difficult for them to go against something that they fully, fully believe. Like, Donald Trump can change his viewpoint every other week because he doesn't care. He doesn't believe in anything. He believes in whatever is beneficial to him at that moment. But these people truly do believe it. And so that's why when you see them introducing bills and the bills being shut down, despite everything around them letting them know that this is a bad idea, it's because they truly believe what it is that they are forcing upon the people in their state. It's not going to work out for them, but, you know, they believe it.
I think what happened here was the politicians, the Republicans, the Donald Trumps, whoever, I think they were sucked in by the evangelicals and these crazy radical right people saying, hey, we'll support you. We just want to overturn Roe v. Wade. They don't really care. So go, yeah, we'll overturn Roe v. Wade. But what happens is, once they got sucked into the money and the connections and the votes and stuff like that, then the crazies pretty much hijacked the Republican Party. And the Republicans that would normally have been Republicans have lost all control. They can't push back because they need the support. So they got played. They got fucking hijacked.
And look who played them. Yeah. I don't know what that says about the crazy or the people who got played.
No, but I know.
Part of it, too, is Donald Trump taught them something that is so toxic. He taught them that you can just lie and you can tell these people anything and you can put the word God behind it and they'll just believe it.
Right.
And that worked for him. And I do think to some extent it does work for some of them, but when it affects them personally, then that's when they see it differently. The woman who is here with me right now, she had a DNC before, I believe she said in 2017. And her pastor and her pastor's wife was at the hospital, like praying over her before she went to the back. And the pastor's wife told her about her own DNC that she had to let her know, how I'm here for you, but I also understand what you're going through. But this time around, it was completely different. It was the opposite. So now she understands in real time that what they're saying to her now, it has nothing to do with a belief system. It has nothing to do with God or anything. What it has to do with is what they're being told right now through the right wing. And she was a Republican. I don't think she knows where she's at now. She just knows what she's against the things that they're doing. But it does open up a lot of people's eyes, because most women will have a DNC at least once. If you don't, you know someone who does.
Right.
And this isn't easy for husbands and boyfriends and fiancés and brothers and fathers either, to watch the females in their lives go through this. It's not easy for them to watch that either. So it affects everybody, even Republican women, like the women that stay here. They're coming from red states. A lot of them are Republican women. And so they just see it differently, but not just them, but the people that it affects, their family, their children, and everybody else. I do think, her experiencing it and her pastor and his wife being so open to her the first time, but this time it's like, no, it's going against God. But what's the difference between 2017 and 2024? It's the same situation. It's just all of a sudden you're more political and it's not about a belief system. And well, so that's being opening up her eyes a little bit.
You make a good point. 2017, Donald Trump was president. Republicans had their share of power, maybe even more power than what they have now. They have the DNC, and you know, it just goes as normal. At that point, we still have Roe v. Wade. But now in 2024, like you say, Donald Trump's not the president, but it's more radicalized. I mean, they've taken the Republican Party and radicalized them with regards to abortion, and they've turned this into a holy war, so to speak. And just a way, I mean, it's almost like they're trying to punish the Democrats. It's not enough that we beat you. We've got to punish you too. So no matter how draconian this is, we're going to shove it down your throat and teach you a lesson, which isn't working, by the way. It's going to kill them in the end. So we have to sit back and watch that in November. But that says a lot. How do you go from Republican power, Donald Trump as president, where everything's, you know, they have their problems with it, but everything's cool, to 2024, when now Roe v. Wade is overturned, and all of a sudden, this is crimes against God, when it wasn't, you know, 7 years ago. It's really fucking crazy, and it's an interesting metamorphosis of the Republican Party. They've gone way radical right, they've gone way religious, and it's starting to show up now, and they'll get a lesson in November, because it won't hold.
Yeah, and I think like what they are failing to see is they feel that every Republican is as extreme as MAGA, but there are kind of like those like down the middle conservative Republicans, I guess that's how you would describe them. And they're just getting caught in a crossfire. You know, they don't want to go to church and hear the pastors talking about politics. They are used to going to church and hearing the word and the book and that type of thing. But it seems like the teachings in the book is considered like liberal and, you know, radical and all this other kind of stuff. So they're pushing those people out into more of an independent sphere. Either that, or they just don't feel like they have a political home at all. But I do know that it is very difficult for kind of like those straight down the middle Republicans that are actually believed. It's kind of hard for me to think that they believed it, but they really did believe that they were fiscally responsible. They really did believe that they're good on the economy. But what happens when you put them in this position, it forces them to actually kind of like look into that a little bit. It's like they're not just believing it because you just told them. Now they have to actually look into it. So when they're exposed to somebody saying Republicans have always been horrible on the economy, now, instead of somebody just telling them what to think, they actually are like more open to looking into it. And then they can just kind of see it for themselves. So I think that's where they're losing people, is what they say is not what they're doing. And people can clearly say that, because it was just the states' rights issues. But now we have travel bans everywhere. We have, it was 15 weeks. Now it's 6 weeks. Now it's nothing at all. It was exceptions. But then everybody finds out those exceptions are just a piece of paper. They're not worth anything that they're written on. By the time you go through the processes, you're past that 15 week mark that is like that golden number for them for whatever reason. And it affects so many more people than what they believe. And it's pretty unfortunate for them. It's unfortunate for me to have to watch these women go through that. Politically, though, I do think that it's a shift that is giving the Democrats the boost that they needed.
Right, exactly. And, you know, the question here is, how do we go from 2017 to 2024? What's causing this? And there's two things causing it, I think. I think the Republicans are seeing the writing on the wall.
Yeah.
The majority of voters is getting younger. The majority of voters that are younger are not going to vote for Republican Party. We saw it in 2022. We saw it to a certain extent in 2020. It's going to be big in 2024. And then the young people are going to be the majority in 2028. The Republican Party sees themselves being phased out. So now they're desperate. They're flailing. They're going to do anything. We'll wrap our arms around the evangelicals because they love us, because we overturned Roe v. Wade. But what they fail to remember is that it's a small percentage of people comparatively. We're talking maybe 25%, not enough to win an election. And what they fail to understand, too, is by embracing these ideas, this religious ridiculousness, they're alienating 75% of the country. But they're so desperate, they're going to do anything and hope against hope that it works. And it's not going to work.
Yeah. When you're desperate like that, you're very rarely will you find someone that desperate who is also calm and rational. Those things just don't go together. So I do think that they're just doing everything that they can to try to solidify I think they're just obstructionists at this point. They'll even pass laws to say instead of a simple majority, now you need 60-70%. Instead of needing, 200,000 signatures, now you need 300,000 signatures.
Right.
But every single time they throw one of those obstacles up, it just kind of seems to make people push back even more, like more defiant. And I don't think any of these people have children.
Right.
Because it's like when you tell them no, that just makes them even that more determined, especially when you put abortion on the ballot, especially when you put student loans on, you put that in people's minds, junk fees, Biden is putting that there. And then you put marijuana on the ballot on top of it, and you talk about decriminalization for some of this small petty stuff. And it does inspire young people to come out more. It's like the abortion is just kind of like the icing on the cake of right. the other things that they're putting on the ballot. And it's just kind of like the things that they are against. It's just like they're against America. Why do you not want your best and your brightest to be educated? There's
right.
so many people out there who can really make a difference, but they just can't afford to go to school. And then you look at every other like country and you see what they're, I think I was seeing something like, France, England, like what their fees were. I think the highest one I've seen that was like 15,000 or something like that.
Right.
For like, and I'm like, oh no, we're looking at like 100,000. Like
yeah.
these student loans is crazy. Unless you kind of like, kind of like have a kid like I do who luckily had family who invested in her Gerber plan for her to go to college and then for her to get grants and scholarships and help her get to where she needs to be. But
right.
not everyone has that ability. Especially in the red states, like these people that are there, they don't have those opportunities. And the opportunities that they did have, that was killed through the Supreme Court. So it was just, I don't know why they thought affirmative action was just all about Black people. And it was really helping them, especially the women in those states, get up out of those situations.
Right.
And
yeah.
the Supreme Court just completely shot that down for them. And then it's crazy because they had a hand in doing that because they thought it was benefiting someone else and they had no idea that it was benefiting themselves.
Right.
That's the sad part about it is that brainwashing that goes on there. But once they hear the truth, it's a whole different ballgame and they're being exposed to the truth now.
You know, over and above voting out Republicans in all aspects, in the Senate, in the House, of course, in the presidency.
Yeah.
Over the past 7-8 years, we've been taught a lot of lessons, things that we took for granted, things that we didn't think about. And now it's all been thrown in our face from the Supreme Court to the President of the United States committing crimes to overturning Roe v. Wade. We've been taught a lot of lessons that we thought would never happen. It wouldn't come into play here. So once we do eradicate these Republicans from the Senate, the House, and keep Joe Biden in the Oval Office, we really got to focus on learning from those lessons and reacting Absolutely. To those mistakes that we made. One of the biggest mistakes we made, and this may piss off some religious people, but the fact of the matter is we need religion the fuck out of politics. There's no Absolutely. Place. There's no place for religion in politics because you really have no control. There's no guardrails. You could be the craziest fucking religious person in the world. And if you've got enough votes and enough money, you can get a politician to say whatever you fucking want. And that's got to be taken out of it. Our forefathers didn't want religion in the Constitution in spite of what Lauren Boebert and Marjorie Taylor Greene say. It's not supposed to be in there. The one reason we came from Britain to yeah. the United States is to get religious freedom and not be controlled by fucking religion. So don't tell me it's in the Constitution. I know it's not.
Yeah, but we also have the opportunity to have a compare and a contrast to what was yeah. it like pre having all of these religious zealots sitting in positions of power in the Congress, right? We know what it looks like before Marjorie Taylor Greene and all of these other cuckoo people versus what it is now.
Right.
So you can see the reason that there is a separation of church and state. Not only that, but I don't know what book it is that they're reading, but it's not the Bible that I grew up reading.
Right, right.
But they just kind of feel like if you don't believe that particular ideology that they have, then there is something wrong with you, which there's so many different ways to interpret the Bible. There's so many different, you know, religions that is there. And a lot of people just believe what you want. As long as you're not hurting anyone and you're not believing in harming anyone, that's fine. And for so long, we've coexisted like that. But now all of a sudden, not only do you have the nationalism, but it's like extreme and it's so radical. And even just like regular people who go to church a couple times a week, they're like, this is a little too much. So you can actually see the difference there. This isn't something that happened, you know, 60 years ago where it's in the back of people's mind or you can just kind of like have revisionist history. This is something that's happening like right now. It's in everyone's faces. So we know what it is. We know what it looks like. And we have to deal with it on a daily basis. It's that silent majority that is not being heard, but they are being heard when they vote. That's why people can't pay attention to the polls.
Right.
We don't really like go out and put Biden flags everywhere, do all this nonsense. But when we vote, we show up and we vote. And I think they'll see. I'm like, oh my God, they're not going to like November.
No, they aren't. You know, the thing about it is that I was talking to Eric about this and I personally think, you know, we saw a tremendous turnout in 2020. Mm-hmm. We saw a pretty good turnout for the midterms when people don't normally turn out. I think we are going to see an unprecedented turnout in November. I think if people were scared going into 2020 and that's why they voted, they're even more scared now because now they're starting to pay the price. Back in 2020, oh no, if we don't get Donald Trump, could happen. Donald Trump out, this could happen. This could happen. Well, now coming into 2024, the shit has happened. So people are going to be more ardent about coming out and voting against Donald Trump. And I think it's going to be a devastating loss for Donald Trump if he's even the nominee. And I'm still thinking he ain't going to make it. We're going to talk about his trial in the next half. But it ain't going well for Donnie.
No, it's not. And I do think that a part of their problem is they never go outside of their comfort zone. They're all in their own little like bubbles. So if you see Marjorie Taylor Greene traveling or giving speeches, it's within that extremism. She doesn't go to other areas. She doesn't have other experiences. She doesn't hear other people's ideas or opinions. So the only thing that you have is like people who believe what you believe, you're putting out there and they're giving it right back to you. That's the only thing that you're exposed to. And I do think that makes it difficult for them to believe that Biden could win. They only hear and see Trump, Trump, Trump. And the other side doesn't prepare them at all for anybody else's opinions, anybody else's idea. Anytime something happens, it's a witch hunt. It's you know, it's Biden, he's DOJ, he's against us and whatever, but they never hear facts and they don't live in the same reality as the rest of us. So that's why when Trump lost, they couldn't believe it because they never saw that he was unpopular. They never saw that people didn't like him. They never saw that people really did have a problem with thousands of people dying a day. They never knew that that was a thing. To them, it was like, oh, it's all good.
Yeah.
So I do think that they will be shocked. I don't think it'll be like the uprising civil war that they've been like chomping at the bit for. That's not going to happen. But I do think that a lot of them will have a half of reality check. Well, they will know, okay, like this is a lost cause right here. Let me just go back underground and hide where I've been hiding. And I do think everybody else will kind of just fizzle out or go to jail if they keep on the path that they're on, to be honest with you.
I think the fatal flaw with Republicans has been all along since Donald Trump came into office. And I think it's been influenced by Donald Trump and his behavior. These people are just incapable of admitting they're wrong and then changing direction when they are wrong. Instead of saying, oh, I was wrong, you know, like in Arizona with this legislator, no, they're fucking up the election, but they keep slamming it home because they got to win. With Roe v. Wade, you know, that's the biggest loser in this upcoming election, but they embrace it and they keep talking about it. That is a fatal flaw. Until they pay a consequence for not willing to be able to admit they're wrong and back off of things, they're just going to keep doing this to the end. And, you know, thank God for that. That's going to be a blessing for Democrats in the election.
Yeah. I mean, look who they are following. I've always been kind of like taught like the head sets the tone.
Yeah.
And so that's why character matters, you know, like
right.
If I was like on social media and twerking and doing all this other kind of stuff, I wouldn't be able to get upset if my daughter was doing that because
right.
I'm setting the example. I'm setting the tone of the house. Even when like the people that come here and they freak out, sometimes I'm on live with you and I'm crying and I'm freaking out. But the moment that I'm like with them, I have to kind of like set the tone. If I'm calm, they'll be calm. If I have hope, they'll have hope, you know, even on those times when we're crying together, you know. But I do think that character matters. I do think the reason that we were as chaotic and all over the places we were when Trump was in charge is because of who he is. And he was setting the tone and he was setting that narrative. And with the Republican Party, those are the leaders that they have. They are chaotic. They are all over the place. They change their views from one day to the next. Today, you know, it's the immigrants that's the biggest problem and the downfall of the country. And then tomorrow, it's going to be something completely different. So they're all over the place. They don't know where they're at. They're not organized. But that's because the tone is being set by Donald Trump. So if he's setting the tone, it just goes down from there. And that's why they will continue to be chaotic and they will continue to be all over the place. And even these little like uprisings that you see, and that's because Trump is not loyal to anyone. So if he brings in Mike Johnson and he's like, okay, yeah, he's good. He's doing what I want him to do. But then you see Marjorie Taylor Greene and now all of a sudden her other little band of homies, they're coming around and they're like backing up her impeachment. It's kind of like, well, yeah, of course, Donald Trump set that tone where he's not loyal to anyone. So
right.
The people that's looking up to him, they're not loyal to anyone, not even to him. So when you see these little like uprising occurring, it's because he set the tone to make that okay. He set the tone to, you know, that is what's supposed to happen. And they're just following his lead, pretty much. He brought this on himself.
You just painted a picture for me. Excuse me for focusing on that, but I pick out little weird things. But you painted a picture for me that I just cannot get my head around. Imagining old soul on social media twerking. That's kind of like Mother Teresa having an OnlyFans. You know, that just does not fucking compute.
Nah, I wouldn't do that. And my daughter only has like one social media, and that's IG, and she just kind of like follows her friends and watch cooking videos and little like cat videos because she loves cats. But you know, everybody's like, why she's not on social media, she doesn't do this, she doesn't do that. But I think that's just kind of like the example that I said. But that doesn't always happen because you will have children who will go the opposite of that. But when you have chaos, it kind of creates chaos. And you know, sooner or later somebody has to break that curse within that family. But it's pretty much you got to set that tone and set that expectation too. I expect for you to behave this way. I expect for you to do this. I expect for you to do that. Even like the wild child, she just kind of like fell into her routine when I was just like, hey, when you're here, you have to give back. So I do expect for you to do volunteer work. So let's sit down and figure out where you can volunteer that or work with everybody's schedule.
Right.
And she didn't have a problem with doing it. Like she just, I'm like, I expect for you to do that. And she's just like, that's the expectation. You know, that's kind of like what I have to do. So,
well, honestly,
I don't think that it was always her. I do think the chaotic environment kind of caused her to kind of be normal within a very toxic situation. And of course, she acted like that.
Well, and frankly, if she's got to make a decision of donating her time or going back to that fucking crazy land back home, it's an easy choice.
Yeah. When we sat with her grandmother and she was just like, you're just so calm. Like I've never seen, like, she's always like arms folded attitude, you know, and she was just like happy, hugging her grandma, talking like a normal teenager, you know, and she just kind of just said, you know, I just feel so bad that I left her with her parents. But at the same time, like we're in COVID. You have COPD and these people are like running around, not wearing masks and going everywhere.
Right.
You had to leave just for your own self, but your grandchild kind of like wasn't your responsibility. But I think I probably would have wanted to take her too. But what choice do you have when you, you know, you have to leave?
Right. Exactly. I tell you what, old soul, we're going to take a quick break and we will be right back. We're back on the Rational Boomer podcast. Old Soul is back with us today. Always a pleasure to talk to her, as it is with all the listeners. But Old Soul has a special place in a lot of folks' hearts out there. They look forward to her being on the show. I'm sure they were disappointed last week, but she is back in full force. And we got plenty of stuff to talk about. You know, we've been talking about the Republicans and how everything they do is performative and really not much substance. And a perfect example of that is something that happened yesterday, and that is this ridiculous impeachment of Department of Homeland Security Chief Alejandro Mayorkas. Now, they went through the House, and they actually impeached this guy. This is the first time any cabinet member has been impeached for, what, 100 years or 200 years, whatever it is. It's been a long time. It's been absolutely ridiculous. And the reason they impeached him is because they said he wasn't doing enough with the border, which is ironic because these are the same people that didn't pass the bipartisan border bill. These people that are claiming he's not doing enough refuse to do anything. It's fucking ridiculous. But you know, they went through the impeachment. They have a little majority, so they were able to get him impeached. And now it has to go to the Senate. Now, there were a couple of things that could have been done. It could have sat on Schumer's desk for 30 years, like Mitch McConnell used to do. Or they could vote on it, and it would go down in defeat because Democrats have the majority in the Senate. There was no way it was going to pass. Instead, they went over and handed it to them. They made it some dramatic thing. They handed it to them, and it went into a hearing yesterday. And basically, in a period of 2 hours, they dismissed both charges, and it's fucking over. The crazy thing is they knew this was going to happen.
Yeah.
They were trying to do something to stain Joe Biden. They wanted to own the libtards, but they knew it wasn't going to work. But they still did it. It's fucking crazy to me. I don't know what they're thinking.
Honestly, I thought that it was a distraction. If you pay attention, like Trump used to always say, like, read the transcript, read the transcript, read the transcripts. And he would just say that because he knew they wouldn't read the transcripts.
Right.
He just, you know, it's so weird that you could just tell some, you can say, hey, do this. And you have enough confidence in your manipulation skills that they'll just trust you and not do it.
Right.
When it came to the Biden open border deal, he never once told anybody, read the deal, read it, because he knew that they had made this such a big deal that people would actually read it and see what it was. And then there are also Republicans going on television saying, this is kind of what we want. And when you have people actually out there telling people to read it, you don't want them to read it. So this whole Mayorkas thing was just a way to distract from the actual border deal itself, but then also to say you don't have to read it because this guy is the bad guy. So it's
Right.
just kind of like pointing the finger at somebody else, like, don't look over here, look over there. It didn't matter if it was going to go through or not. They just needed that distraction. I don't think what the supporters are asking themselves, which they should ask themselves, is if they can't get a conviction on a cabinet member, what makes you think they can get a conviction on the actual president when the stakes are even higher?
Well, that's a good point. You know, they had three main points in trying to, I mean, they can't come at Biden with policy or anything like that. So they have to try to stain his reputation somehow. And they had three ways they were going to do that. First of all, they were going to expose him for taking a bribe and impeach him. Unfortunately, there was no evidence and there was no witnesses, and that took a shit, and that's starting to fade away. So point number one, really no longer available to them. Point number two, the border. And once again, Joe Biden took it to them and turned it around on them, said, okay, let's pass this bipartisan bill for the border, the most stringent bill we've ever had on the border. And Donald Trump and the Republicans said no. So for them now to be able to say that Joe Biden's keeping the border open, they can't really do that now. So they've lost number two. And number three is the economy. Oh, he's bad for the economy. Well, the economy's pretty fucking good. I mean, we have some problems with inflation, but that's coming down. Gas prices are coming down. It's still higher than it should be, but it's not really Joe Biden's fault. Everything that they were going to campaign against Joe Biden with, they lost. And I love how Joe, I don't know if you heard this, but Joe Biden did, he's gone after Donald Trump. And I like this. But he was talking about the economy in one speech. And he says, you know, I understand it's really tough out there. I understand it's tough. In fact, I had one man come up to me and says, I'm running out of money. I'm in debt up to my ears. I don't know what to do. What can you do for me? And Biden says, well, Donald, there's not much I can do for you at this point. He said, but you know what? You know what? The way it's going with your stock, my tax plan might be better for you than yours. I think it's hilarious that he's shoving it down his throat because Donald Trump absolutely hates this. Narcissists hate to be proved wrong and embarrassed, and Joe Biden's loving doing it.
Yeah, not only that, but okay, I know people make fun of Trump for falling asleep, whatever. But I do think part of it is I don't think they're gonna like hawk him up like that because I do think when he's hawked up, he's not controllable and he's
Right.
like out of control. So I do think that he's gonna kind of run on his own fumes during court. But for him to fall asleep on like the first and the second day, for me, it shows me that A, he's not worried about going to jail. Like it's not bothering him that he can go to jail. What's bothering him is that he's not in control of the narrative.
Right.
That is what's bothering him. So when he's in court, you know, he can kind of put on a little show or whatever. But at the end of the day, he's comfortable enough to take a nap because he's like, I'm not going to go to jail. I'm just going to get fined. And even if they do say I have to go to jail, I'm going to appeal it to oblivion or beyond. So he's not worried about that. He's just worried about his spin and the narrative. And
Well,
it's crazy because like my daughter does like read his body language a lot. And she was just like, he does like this pointing down a little bit, and that's kind of like the equivalent to him like hitting his hand on a desk.
right.
And then she's also saying when he's like walking up, he's talking before he even gets in front of the cameras. Like before he gets like to his stance, he's already talking. Like he's spitting out all this information because he's trying to control the narrative. And she was like, you can see that the not being able to control the narrative is what's driving him crazy. And the facts getting out there is what's pissing him off the most, but it has nothing to do with jail time or any of that. It's just that he can't control the information, one, and the narrative, two.
Well,
And I'm just like, yeah, you know.
the narrative coming out of this particular trial is going to be embarrassing, you know, as far as paying off a
Yeah.
porn star and a Playboy playmate and the adultery and all this stuff. And he's
Who's
not
going to
going to be,
explain all this to Baron?
yeah, Barron. Well, you know, the thing about it is, you talked about him falling asleep, and some people have come to me and said, you know, I'm 65 years old. If I had to sit in a courtroom for 10 hours for the whole day, I'd probably fall asleep too. And yeah, I probably would too. But the thing about it is that he's calling out Joe for being Sleepy Joe. So people want to shove this in his face. He put himself in this position. He's going to have to figure out a way to stay awake. But there was a creator I was watching last night or the night before, and I did a response video. I never call out other creators, never, because it's and when people saw the TikTok, they thought, oh shit, he's going after this guy. And I wasn't. This guy, his name is Hawk, and he's on TikTok, and he's very, very popular. He's very good. He's very entertaining. I
He's on
follow.
YouTube now too, right?
What?
He's on YouTube now.
Yeah, he's on YouTube now. Yeah, he's great. I like Hawk.
Yeah.
I like Hawk. He and I are different in some ways, a lot of ways, but we're of the same mindset. He's very smart.
Yeah.
He's a lawyer and all that stuff. But he did a TikTok and he said, well, on the second day, Donald Trump fell asleep, and it's being reported that he audibly farted. And I did a response and I said, I believe he fell asleep.
Yeah.
How do you know he farted? How do you know he farted? I mean, I think that's a little irresponsible to suggest he farted, given all we know. And I said, now hold on a second. I'm not suggesting that there wasn't some bodily function that was audibly heard in the room. But Donald Trump is known to wear diapers. Donald Trump is known to regularly shit his pants. So maybe it was a fart, but who's to say it wasn't a shart? And if it was a shart, I don't know how we can prove that. But don't say it's a fart because it could have been the shart. Tomatoes, tomatoes. But there's a distinct difference. Don't start making claims he farted when he could have gone the other route. And a lot of people were, they thought I was calling this guy out, and they go, oh, I've never heard him do this. This should be interesting. And then I say that and they go, oh, you fucker. But my point of this is Donald Trump is 77 years old. He's on Adderall. He's got ADD. He's mentally broken. He's been in there 2 days. He's fallen asleep twice, presumably had some bodily functions while he's in there. That's just 2 days. This is going to be a 2 month case. This is going to take its toll on Donald Trump. And I don't know that if he, I don't know that he can keep it together for that period of time.
He's not keeping it together now.
No,
Joe,
exactly.
he has like so much going on with the spray because you know it's like a lot of spray to get that wraparound thing he has going on. He has the spray tan going on. He has the odor going on. He has the diaper odor going on. And I swear to God, this man, he only owns like two suits. He's like Matlock. He
Yeah.
owns two suits. That's it. That's all. So you know that constant funk and stench of wearing that same suit. Like, I don't care what Stephen Miller says. He's not a fashion icon. And
No.
that smell, like, it has to be like permeating the courtroom. People a little bit more further away, okay, maybe cool, but the people that's like up close to him, I don't know how they sit there. To me, it's like the funniest thing in the world because I'm like, every now and then you can see kind of like a look on someone's faces when they get like a whiff of it.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was a fart or a shart, but I know whatever it is, it had to happen rank, like rank, rank. Like you can wake up a comatose patient with that smell kind of
Right.
rank.
It's
Like I think
like
that's what it
smelling salts with a hint of McDonald's. Yeah, it's not good. Well, you know what the ironic thing is that, here's this guy, former president, he's loved by a lot of people. If you took that guy, put him in middle school, had him wear the same clothes every day, have fucked up hair, have him shitting in his pants. In middle school, this guy would get his ass kicked every day.
Children are brutal.
They
Like, they
are.
have no mercy at all whatsoever. And there's no doubt in my mind that even in his prime, They didn't like him. He didn't
No.
have any friends unless his father was paying them off. I really do believe that. And it's the same thing now. These people wouldn't be around Donald Trump if they weren't benefiting from it in some way. Like, you literally have to pay people to be around him. And I think he knows that. There's no way he doesn't know that.
You know,
No way.
I got when I did that video, I got called out by some people. 99% of the people agreed with me, thought it was funny, and they said, "Yeah, he definitely sharted." But there are some people that came to me and said, "I'm not with you on this, calling names and doing that stuff. That's pretty low. I wasn't brought up that way," and you know, I don't do that normally either. But I try to explain to folks, and you're a more calm, compassionate person. You wouldn't go the way I go. There's no question about that. You'd be more above it all. But my point here is I'm curious as to what you think. Michelle Obama said, when they go low, we go higher. And my point is that for decades, the Democrats have been going higher, and it's never worked. We've got, you know, we go higher, we got Citizens United. We go higher, we get Donald Trump. We go higher, and we get a Supreme Court justice blocked. We go higher, and we get three Supreme Court justices crammed down our throat. We go higher, and we get Roe v. Wade overturned. And my contention is when you're dealing with a bully, having dealt with some bullies in my time, sometimes bullies don't understand going higher. They don't have a lot of integrity, so it doesn't mean anything to them. Sometimes you got to get in the mud and give them exactly what they understand, a slap in the snout, knock them on their ass, and straighten them out that way. That's the only way really to stop a bully, is to make them fearful of coming at you again. And I know Democrats don't like doing it, and a lot of people's sensibilities won't allow them to do it. But I'm more than happy to fucking do it. You want to play that game? You want to be a dickhead? I mean, I get called horrible names all the time. So I don't feel bad about, I wish I could call out some of these people that, I mean, I wish with all the people that come to my page and say shit to my page, I'd like to be able to pull up their profile and just roast them for about 2 minutes and then block them. But I would get in trouble for that. I would be a bully. And I just see myself as a bully who bullies bullies. And I don't think that's wrong, at least not in my heart.
I look at it as that was then, this is now.
Right,
In a
right.
civilized society, that might work, but that's not what we're under right now. And then, like earlier, when I was saying set the tone, I do think that set the tone when she said that for Republicans to see, oh, they always gonna take the high road. So we can
Yeah.
do X, Y, and Z, and they're always gonna be above it. And so that gave them permission to be bullies and do whatever it is that they wanted to do. But I think now I don't really see it as bullying. I just kind of see it as like matching energy and sometimes punching back a little harder, which you kind of like have to. Because like where I'm from, if there's like a bigger kid coming after you, it's not fighting dirty if you put some change in a sock and ball it up and hit them with it. Because this kid is bigger than you. So you have to have something just as forceful as them. And then they also need to know that when they come at you, they're going to go home with some knots upside their head so that they won't fuck with you no more. That's how it is. I don't understand this when people say that Democrats have to like be perfect and high road all the time. We have to do this and that. But when you talk to people, the number one complaint that they have about Democrats is, oh, they don't punch back. Democrats are so weak. They don't do this. They don't do that. That's the number one complaint that they have. So if this is what they are craving in order to vote with us and vote against them, then we have to give them that. If this is what people want and this is what people are going to vote for, give them what they vote for, and they want to see us fight back, and
Well,
they enjoy seeing us fight back.
and I thank you for that because you gave me a perfect segue for our next commercial announcement. Now available, Old Soul signature tube sock with $20 worth of quarters in it. If you want to stay safe on the streets, get your Old Soul tube sock full of fucking change.
That's how you gotta do it. Bring it. I'm not running away from you, but I'm letting you know when you come over here, you're gonna run. Walk up on me and you're gonna run back. That's how I
Well,
gotta be. You got to fight like that sometimes. You have, especially, and it's not like we are fighting for a bill. You know what I mean? We are fighting for reproductive freedom for women. We are fighting for LGBTQ plus rights. We are fighting for equality. We are fighting for democracy. Now is not the time to be above it all.
Right, right.
It's just no.
Well, we used to say when we were young and we had occasion to get in fights and somebody would say, you can't do that. We'd always say, ain't no rules in a street fight. If there's a stick or a bottle laying there, pick that fucker up, man, before they do. Yeah. And I'm not suggesting physical violence or anything, but my point is you've got to fight fire with fire sometimes when you have people that just don't understand the higher levels of integrity. You gotta send the message, and you may have to send it in the language they understand. And it's unfortunate, but as I've said, when I responded to that, I said, like you said, it's not like we're trying to debate a point. We're fighting for the very existence of our democracy, which is hanging by a thread. We're fighting for the future for our kids and our grandkids. This is no time to pussyfoot around. This is the time to fight like crazy and win this fucking thing. And I think I feel like we are winning it.
Yeah, I can see the shift. And then part of it too is, I mean, just imagine if Trump was like coming out and just attacking and attacking and attacking and attacking Biden. And the only thing Biden said was, oh, come on, man. You know, and that's it. It's just kind of like, no, you have to hit him back. And I think that's been a while. Like, people have really been wanting him to do that. And he's been doing it with his social media posts. He's been doing it with his jokes when he's attacking him, not having the funds that he claims to have. He's been attacking him. And I would say he's not even like hitting below the belt, you know, like he's not bringing his children into it or anything. Even though his children are full grown adults, he's not doing that because they could easily, like the things that they say about Hunter Biden, tell me they could not say that same thing about Don Jr. and some. But he doesn't do that. I do think he hits back with the appropriate amount of force. But I also think that Biden trusts us to take those low blows when it comes to Donald Trump and the other brats that Trump has. He does trust us to take those cheap shots for him. And I do think he's above that, but he's not above going after Trump, who is his opponent, not the other brats that he has.
You know, my wife made an observation about this trial, and it's not on television, but we see pictures and we see people coming in and coming out of it. It seems unusual that a man of 77 of some importance, former president, is on trial for crimes, 34 felony charges. You know who I don't see in that courtroom? I don't see any family members. I don't see any close friends. I don't see anybody but his lawyers and people from the press and people interested in finding out what's going on. That tells an interesting story when your own family won't come to support you in your own criminal trial, a serious criminal trial.
Yeah. And I mean, why would anybody be surprised? Like, well, I don't talk about him on air, but you know that I have a honey, right? Yeah. I would not tolerate a court like 0.01% of the crap that Trump does to Melania. Like, I wouldn't put up with that for a second. I don't care what kind of, but I'm not Melania either, because I have no problem getting a job, paying my own way, and taking care of me and my child and not depending on him for anything. That's me. That's not her. So that's two different things. But just imagine as a woman how embarrassing it is to go and stand in front of the world and hold the hand of a man who is currently on trial for cheating on you with different women, in particular this one that he paid while you were at home nursing a newborn. Why would she do that? Well, and then when you look at his children prior to him running for president, you can read some of the stuff that Donald Trump Jr. and Eric said about him never being a part of their lives. He didn't raise them. He wasn't. I mean, it's a whole different song and dance now. Right. But when you look at the things that they wrote, that they said, that they gave interviews about prior to him running, he was not there for them. He was an absentee father at best, and he was emotional abusive to them and to their mothers. So there's nothing there. There's no there's no connection there. Like, I don't have a connection with my father like that.
Right,
Why
right.
would I go and stand on television with him and embarrass myself? No, you can do that by yourself, just like you made that decision by yourself.
Well,
That's how I would look at it.
the ironic thing about this is back in the 90s, when we had the revelations of Bill Clinton and his little excursions in the White House with
Excursion.
I don't know. I was trying to be delicate with it.
He was a serial cheater.
Well, he was. But remember what happened. They absolutely ravaged Hillary for standing by her man and not dumping him, and now we have a situation where Donald Trump clearly had affairs with a porn star and a Playboy model, and then paid them off to keep their mouth shut. It's ironic that the Republicans would complain about Hillary Clinton, and now Melania clearly has known about it for almost 8 years, and she hasn't done anything about it. So why isn't she getting ravaged about this? She's handling it. I mean, Hillary didn't divorce Bill, but she said, fuck it, I'm going to be a senator and then a secretary of state. She went out and made her own way. I don't think you're going to see Melania as a senator of fucking anything.
No. What was it? The Cotton Club? I almost called it the Chicken Club. The Cotton Club where you met her at? I mean, that was the whole reason that she was there. It's just to present these women in these situations to these men of means, kind of like a mail order bride, but you get to test them out first. That's how I kind of looked at it. So she went into it knowing what she was signing up for. I think that she always knew who he was and what he did. I think the only difference is we were exposed to it in the public eye, but behind closed doors, I think she always knew what that was about. And I do think that, you know, Trump was the green card. Well, Trump was kind of like the, I don't know, the visa, and Barron was kind of like the green card. Like, it's permanent now. You know what I mean? So I think that's what that was. And she made that decision to have a certain lifestyle, and she knew what came with that lifestyle. And that's why I don't feel sorry for her, especially her knowing who he is, her immigrating here herself and not going through it the legal way, and the way that she demonizes immigrants and the whole birtherism thing that she did with Obama. It makes me not respect her at all.
I have no respect for her. She's just a quieter Donald. She obviously buys into all the bullshit. Otherwise, she wouldn't be there. And I don't think much of her at all. You know, you said something earlier, and I couldn't agree more. I've talked about this too. Donald Trump, as a narcissist and just who he is, he's an absolute control freak. And you have to be a control freak when you're a narcissist, because you got to cover up the lies. Okay, you got to lie over here. You start to get caught. Well, then you change the narrative and you fix it. But right now, he's got too many fucking balls in the air. He's in a situation where he has to control everything, but physically can't because he's overwhelmed. On Monday, he's got this meeting, this hearing about his bond issue. And everything we know about this guy who put up the bond, he doesn't qualify. He's not legit. So when he walks out of that courtroom, well, Donald Trump won't walk out of that courtroom because he'll be in another courtroom. But when his lawyers walk out of that courtroom, it's conceivable they're going to say, this is no bond at all. And theoretically, you would assume that Letitia James can start seizing and liquidating shit. He's got that going on. He's got a criminal trial going on. He's got the one thing that was going to save him in his IPO with True Social, and it went from $75 down to $23 in just over 2 weeks. And he's got three more criminal trials coming up at some point, either before or after the election. And he's got the election. This is overwhelming for Donald. He can't control everything, and that's where he's going to lose.
There's two people who thought that Truth Social would save Trump. Trump and his maggots. That's it. Nobody else thought that. Yeah. Everybody else with any intelligence and money was like actually trying to bet against it. I don't know how anybody in their right mind thought that that was going to work, because Truth Social, what it was supposed to be, was it was supposed to be a place where all the people who got kicked off of Twitter, all of the racists, all of the crazies, it was a place for them to go and conjugate and spew their hatred, right?
Right.
But then Elon Musk swoops in and he gives all of them a space on Twitter. So what do they need Truth Social for? It was never going to be profitable. The only way that it would have been profitable is if Elon Musk was never in the picture, because that would have gave them a home, a comfort, a place to go. But now they have that place in Twitter, so they don't need Truth Social. Truth Social is just kind of like Donald Trump's therapy sessions. That's all he does, is just goes on there and just regurgitates all of this crap that he has on the inside, and he just spews it out onto everybody else. That's all that it's there for. It was never going to be anything unless Elon Musk didn't take over Twitter and they needed a place to go. But it's like they were all banned and they were looking for a place to go. So the idea of it, it made sense, because it's like these people need a place to go. They can't go to Facebook. They can't go to Twitter. Like, where are they going to go? And Truth Social was supposed to be that place for them. But then Elon Musk came in and just like, oh, no, I'll give them a home over here. They already had the app. Everything was cool. And then when it first came out, it had all those bugs in it and stuff. So people just thought it was safer just to kind of stay at, you know, X or Twitter or whatever it is, because they can still do what they needed to do over there instead of having to go through all these hoops through Truth Social. It was never going to be good with Elon Musk on the scene.
There's another thing you have to consider with this, too, is that even if it did involve all the racist, misogynist, anti-Semite, crazy fucking Christian right, radical right motherfuckers, there's a problem with the business plan, because there ain't enough of them. It's not like there's, it's not like half the country is that. It's not. I know the Republicans think that's the case, but that's not the case. We're talking like 25% of the country. And of course, not everybody is going to go on those sites. So not only is True Social having trouble, they've got under a million under a million followers or users, and TikTok's got 170 million, so who's worth more? And so
and they can do all the racist stuff over there where more people can see it.
Right. And but Twitter is starting to sink too. Twitter's not as powerful as it once was, since Elon, the business mastermind, he's pretty much run that into the ground, too. You know, they want us to believe that half the country is like the MAGA people. It's just not true. 20-25% maybe. And they'll say, well, during the election in 2020, Donald Trump had 71 million people vote for him. And that doesn't mean they're all MAGA. In fact, most of those guys have gone away from Donald Trump. It was just people that saying, I won't vote Democrat. I only vote Republican. And whoever the Republican candidate is, that's who I'm going to vote for. That's not going to happen in 2024, because Donald Trump has become too big a threat. Even the more even-minded Republicans are going to go, that's too far.
It's not going to go well. I don't know. I think that what could have propped True Social up a little bit, I don't know if you've been on there, but those those infomercials, they sell the gold bars and the fake jewelry that turn your neck green. Like, that's what it is over there. I think it could have, like, maybe sold more stuff and maybe propped it up that way. But I think it would have been, like, the prime place to grift. But, you know, they already had another safe haven. But as you stated, it's just not that many of them to sustain it. Like, I do think that maybe it could have gotten off to a good start, like, you know, Twitter did. But eventually, it's not sustainable, because it just, it turns off so many people. Like, it turns the stomach of so many people where they just like, I'm cool on that. That's too much for me. Even for, you know, Republicans, some of them is just like, this is just like way too much. And I don't think that, because they live in their own ecosystem, and I don't think that they, I really don't think they understand how gross it is to most people.
Right. Well, I don't go on True Social, but I've read about it and I've heard about it and I have people tell me about it. And what it reminds me of, based on what I've heard, is remember back in the early days of the internet, we had what we called billboards. And these billboards were where people will interact, and ultimately they just became big, shitty poorly done websites just selling crazy shit or talking crazy shit. And that seems to me what true social has finally become, other than Donald Trump.
And now that is public, I do think there was a bit of, I don't know, I want to say kind of like people who didn't want to be exposed to it, but kind of like wondered about it a little bit. But now that like it's just wide open and everybody can see what it is. And, you know, there's not that many people with an appetite for that. And I do think that, you know, when you live in your own ecosystem, you don't get to see that. You really do think that everybody feels the way that you feel.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think, I mean, I've said this before, we were talking about all the balls he's trying to juggle. He can't, he's overwhelmed by it. And whenever I say he won't be the nominee or I don't think he'll make it to be the nominee, it isn't because Republicans will abandon him, because they won't. They'll do it. They'll go over the ledge with him. I'm just thinking, with all this stuff going on and with the kind of mind he has, the narcissistic mind, who has to control everything, who has to give this perception that he's powerful, smart, and strong, and all this stuff. When this all comes crashing down on him, a guy with a fragile mind, a mind that's in a fragile condition, it's got to ultimately crush him or cause him to implode, because he just won't be able to handle it anymore.
It'll implode on himself and those around him. I often think about the staff that he employs. I think about the Secret Service that has to deal with him. I think that those are the people who is going to catch the brunt of it. After that, of course, it'll be his supporters, and then whatever is left over, they'll try to spew it out on the rest of us. I don't think he will ever like give up and drop out of the race. I do think that Republicans will continue that pattern that they have right now, like in Arizona and everywhere else. They are not going to say, hey, we made a mistake, it's time to course correct. That's not going to happen. I think he's going to be the nominee, and they are just going to, you know, it's a sucker's bet, and that's what they're doing. I don't see him not being, unless he's 6 feet under. Yeah. I mean, that'll be a whole different story. And I do think, I know I should not say this, but nobody wants Donald Trump dead more than the Republican Party.
Oh,
they
yeah.
want him to be gone because he can be a martyr. Can you imagine the conspiracy theories that would go on if something happened to him? And they would totally love that opportunity to try to like bring more people in. As much as we don't like him, I think that they would just love, like they would have a happy party if he just keeled over tomorrow. Nobody wants that to happen more than they do. And it's so sad their supporters don't even see that.
No, I agree with you. I mean, for me, as much as I dislike Donald Trump and as much as I say I'm not sure he'll be the nominee, I hope he's the nominee. I hope he's the nominee, because Joe Biden will absolutely destroy him. And as far as his health, I hope he lives a long and healthy life to 150 years old, because that motherfucker is going to be a pariah. He's going to be broke, and he's probably going to be in jail. So I want him to spend as much time suffering and paying for his misdeeds as he possibly can. I don't want Donald Trump to die. I don't want to see it happen. Unless he becomes president, then I'm worried about the Democrats freaking out and doing something crazy.
I couldn't even imagine who his VP pick would be.
No.
But I can't imagine that it would be anyone who we would want in succession to Donald Trump. Like, I couldn't even imagine, like, if it was like a Marjorie Taylor Greene or a Carrie Lake or one of those clowns on the ticket with him.
Well, it's going to have to be. I think the key point to whoever he makes the vice president is going to have to bring money more than anything, because he's broke as a fucking joke right now. I mean, he can't campaign. I mean, he had a recent situation, you know, he's in court. He's ripping this judge to shreds. Then he has the audacity to go and ask him a favor. Ah, Barron's graduating. I want to go to the graduation. Can I get some time off? Now, the judge didn't say no, but he said, we got to see what's going on, because this is kind of important. And now all the Republicans and Donald Trump are acting like he was told no. And that's horrible. How can he do this to a man? He can't go to his kid's graduation. like you were pointing out about his other kids, he never went to a fucking graduation in his
None of
lifetime.
them.
Right.
None
Well, and he probably didn't go to his own graduation because the bitch didn't graduate.
of them.
But
That's why we have to see those transcripts.
yeah, we can't see the transcripts. We can't see the diploma. We can't see shit. But then, but then this has got to be driving him a little nuts too. And this is what I've said all along. Over and above everything else, he's going to be tied up in court so much, he's not going to really be able to campaign. And next Wednesday, I think it is, or Tuesday or whatever, there's a big fundraiser for the RNC. And this is important to Donald Trump because this is a big event where he can talk, but his campaign doesn't have to pay for it, which is good because they have no fucking money. So he wants to go there, get the free ride and speak up. He goes to the judge, "Can I get time off?" And he goes, "Fuck no. This is more important than anything else you've got." And then he wanted to go to the arguments of the Supreme Court about this immunity thing. And the judge said, "Well, the Supreme Court is important, but so is the Supreme Court of New York. And you're on trial, so you're coming here." This is, he should have known this beforehand, but I think it's finally hitting home that he can't do anything. He is absolutely trapped at this point. He's got to be there every day. They're in session. He can't leave. He can't talk. He can't do anything. This has got to be absolutely driving him nuts.
You know what they reminded me of? Have you ever tried to get a child to go to bed that don't want to go to bed? Is, can I have some water? Can you read me one more story? Can you, you know, like that? Because the first time that I laughed at them when they were like, well, we have to not have court for 10 days because it's Passover. I was cracking up at that one. Like Passover, it kind of felt like they just pulled out their calendars and was looking and was like, okay, what holidays are coming during this trial? Because we can't go to court doing none of this. The judge didn't fall for Passover. And then it's like, well, we got this court date. Then they didn't fall for that one. Well, then we have Barron's graduate. It's like they're trying everything that they can. And it's like, dude, go to bed. Like, I just want to scream that to the top. Like, just go to bed. You're not staying up longer. It's like they're doing every single thing that they can to stall. And it's so sad that when I think of these analogies, I equate it to like a child. And that
Yeah.
is, it's exactly what it feels like. There's no way out of this. And then he's not preparing for any of this. Like you were saying that we, there's a hearing about this scam of a bill that he tried. I mean, like he tried to finesse the courts out of $175 million. In that live chat, someone said like they would be like kicking dirt over us by now. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. There's no way that he gets away with that, but he knows that that date is coming up. And what has he done to prepare for that date? What has he done to try to secure that bond elsewhere? Absolutely nothing. Like that is not going to come up until that date is here. And then when that date is coming, it's like, okay, well, what about this? This, like, he's going to try to prolong that in any way he can. It's just like, you know, you start preparing for bed an hour ahead of time. So at 8 o'clock, I don't want to hear all these excuses. But that's how it is at, with Trump. He knows this date is coming. He knows what needs to be done, but it's going to be the day of, the day before, and it's going to be all these excuses. He's going to be trying to wiggle his way out of it like a worm in hot ashes or something, just all over the place. And I do think like it's hard for him because people are telling him no, and he's getting away with less and less and less and less. It's a nice thing to watch.
I can relate to that scenario very well, and I'm not going to name any names, Junie, my granddaughter. You know, it'll be there are a couple of times when it's just me and her, and that poses a real problem. I go, "Okay, Junie, you got to go take a nap." Okay, and she goes, lays in bed. She goes, "I got to go potty." Okay, we'll go potty. "Oh, I got to turn off the light. Can I have a popsicle before I go to bed?" And here's the problem. If grandma's not there, if dad's not there, grandpa do anything she wants, give her anything she wants. So I'm just perpetuating the problem here. The two of us together, when it comes to bedtime, total fucking disaster. This girl's not going to sleep. She's going to do exactly what she wants to do. And but you're absolutely right in making that comparison with Donald Trump. Everything he's done, it's all about delaying it. And all he's doing is delaying the inevitable. He's always going to end up in the spot he doesn't want to be in, but he thinks somehow that doing 2 weeks delay or 2 months or 6 months delay is somehow going to save him. And I think it goes back to where Donald Trump thinks he's a genius. He thinks he can talk his way out of anything, or somebody will magically save him. So if I just get another month, I'll be saved. He doesn't realize he's just delaying the inevitable. He's going to get fucking nailed. And he's seeing it now in the criminal case right now. There really is no way out. And I think that's why he's kind of freaking out now. And if you look at him, he looks horrible. He does not look like he's handling this well.
I mean, to say that he looks more rough than he normally does is saying a lot. But I seen him like the other day, like his eyes were almost like swollen, like shut. And so I'm like, oh, he didn't sleep. But I do think that it should be like top priority for him to go to bed at a decent hour. But I do think that he has like roaming thoughts. I do think things just kind of like pop in his head.
Oh, yeah.
And like, odd hours of the night. I was seeing earlier somebody was talking about a post that he made about Jimmy Kimmel, and somebody was like, dude, like the Oscars was like 38 days ago, and here he is in the middle of the night posting about it. So I do think that his mind doesn't allow for him to just lay down peacefully and go to sleep like you and I, like, oh, we're tired, we're gonna go to bed. I don't think his mind allows him to do that.
No.
There's a lot of damage.
Well, and I've said this about him too. You know, he's always quick to talk. He's always quick with the retort. And people think, well, he's a master orator and he's great with the comebacks. What I see from Donald Trump when he talks, there's no thought process that happens there. It comes in his head, it goes out his mouth without even thinking. And proof of that is he continually implicates himself in other crimes when he says the things he says. He's not thinking about it all. There is no strategy. It's just somebody says something and he spews. And he doesn't care if it's bad or good or stupid or ridiculous or embarrassing. That's all he knows how to do.
Yeah, and part of that is, it reminds me of this guy that I used to date. And he just kind of felt like as long as you can hear what he says, he can change your mind. Yeah. So it's kind of like, just hear me, just hear what I have to say. And if you listen to me, then you'll get it. You'll understand it. Your mind will change. So he really does feel like he can make us change our minds. If we just heard him out, if we just heard what he has to say, you know, we'll get it. We'll understand where he's coming from. And like the other day when he stood out there and he admitted to it pretty much, except for he said it wasn't a crime. It was a business transaction. I had an accountant and like you're standing out in front of the courthouse admitting to your crime, because in his mind, he thinks if I can just explain it to them, they'll get it and they'll understand and they'll get that this is nonsense. And I don't think that he's thinking that his arrogance, how that's going to play to the jury, all of this little childish behavior that he's doing, it's not going to work. I think it's going to rub them the wrong way. And I think his antics from his attorneys, the same thing with the E. Jean Carroll case, I think that Elena Haba, a lot of her behavior had a lot to do with that judgment as well.
Absolutely.
And I think it's going to be the same thing this time. They don't learn anything. I don't want them to learn, but sometimes it's like, just learn from what happened the last time and try to maybe have a different attitude this time. But
hopefully that guy that you dated learned a lesson, because old soul just kicked your ass to the curb. But
I did.
I know you did. I know you did. But Donald Trump in his second day in court, he got pretty heavily admonished by the judge. When they were talking to the jurors, he was making faces, he was sighing, saying things under his breath. And Judge Marchand isn't going to, I mean, you can say what you want about the judge and the lawyers and stuff, but once you start even intimating that you're trying to affect or intimidate the jury, that's where that shit stops. And he did stop him at that point. And I'm going to be interested to see if they're going to be able to keep him under control, because that will be the breaking point. And as much as he's trying to intimidate them, somebody came out and said he may have already shit the bed, because the jury, while they're sitting there getting picked, they're making a decision about his behavior.
Absolutely.
And his behavior is shit. And it will cost him in the long run.
It will. And what he is not understanding is he's not talking or he's not performing for his supporters. There's one thing or a pattern that I see with the jury is these are all like independent voters. You
Right.
know, like these are people who kind of like, I guess you would call them low information voters. They don't really pay attention. They're not really on social media like that. These are just kind of like, yeah, a couple months before the election, I'll just kind of like see what's going on or whatever.
Right.
But these are not his supporters. They're not like, they're just kind of like regular people.
Right.
And they don't look at him and those actions as like a Trump humper would. These are like, he's acting out. He's acting childish. And then I think that will just rub people the wrong way because it's like, well, why is he doing that? What's the motive behind him doing that? Or
Right.
they can see that maybe he's trying to make me think a certain way. He's trying to manipulate me this way. I know that, what's that guy's name on Fox that took over for Tucker Carlson? The one who
Jesse
slit
Waters.
his wife's tires? Yeah, that guy. And he was saying that one of the jurors said that no one is above the law. And he was like, so juror two, there's a problem with this juror. Because the juror said that nobody is above the law, that's the problem that you have with this juror. They're already trying to prime their viewers to think that the jury is against him. Now,
Right.
forget that in his past trial, he said, we don't have a jury. If I had a jury, I would have won this case. But now that he has a jury, you have to make the jury look bad. You have to make the jury look tainted. They're always like moving that ball just further and further and further. To me, it's kind of like they never stop to say, well, he wanted a jury, but now he has a jury, and there's a problem with that. And I don't even know how you say a jury said no one is above the law. They're a tainted jury. But
Right.
I know that people watching that show will believe that. It
Oh,
was
yeah.
pretty funny to me to watch him say that. I kind of chuckled at myself a little bit, like, did he just say that? I
Yeah, it's pretty
was serious
ridiculous.
too.
It's pretty ridiculous. But thankfully, this jury will be anonymous, so they shouldn't suffer any particular problems from Trumplifux. Well, old soul, we're coming to the end of the program. I appreciate you coming on. I'm glad you're back after a week hiatus. Let's hope things calm down a little bit and you get the wild child in line. You get done what needs to be get done, and you send her home to the
You
craziness
know what
back.
she likes to do? She didn't know about this, but I like to watch a lot of old shows, and one of my favorite shows to watch because I love Granny is the Beverly
Oh,
Hillbillies.
yeah.
And it was just kind of like, if I'm having a rough day, I'll put that on. I'll like get in bed and she'll be like, hey, can I hang out with you and watch it? I'm like, sure. She'll like come in there because I have like a California King wide. And
Yeah.
she'll be in there, and then my daughter will come in there, and we're just like hanging out in the bed watching Beverly Hillbillies. Like, we love that show. And I'm
It's
like,
a
oh
great
my gosh,
show.
like, it's a good show. She loves like watching Granny make her elixirs and stuff. She'd be like, oh, get it, Granny. Like, so we found some mutual ground with Beverly Hillbillies. It's, you know, I like the black and white. I don't really like the colored episodes that much, but she's in there watching it with me. So. Yeah, she's getting there.
Yeah, and that show is around my time when I was young, and I was watching it, but it's well before your time. But I always love when Granny needs to get into the rheumatiz medicine.
Yeah.
Now, how do you like it though when Granny says the South's gonna rise again? She does say that. She might have been a Trump humper if there had been Trump humping back then.
They wouldn't have been able to hang with Granny. That is my show, and I love that you said that. So yeah, I like the oldies but goodies. That's like one of my favorite shows.
If you're young and you've never seen the Beverly Hillbillies, I would encourage you to do it. It is hilarious.
You are missing out. You
You're
are
missing
missing
out.
out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jethro Bodine, the cement pond, rheumatiz
Yeah.
medicine. Yeah, it's a great show. I loved watching it when I was a
Absolutely.
kid. I was watching it when I was a kid. All right, old soul, thank you for coming on today. It's a blessing because I'm in Georgia. I have to work far less when you're on or any of the other listeners are on because then we can just have a conversation and I don't have to plan anything because we don't plan anything. We just talk. But thank you for
Yep.
coming on, and hopefully nothing crazy will happen next week, and you'll have you back next Thursday.
Yeah, I'll be here.
All right. I want to thank the folks listening for taking the time out of your day to listen. I hope you have a great day, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Rational Boomer Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. We'll see you next time.